Now, since we're just starting to take, let's pray. Just kidding. And we'll talk about salvation and the depravity of man. We've already established what is depraved. What is the depravity of man? What does that mean? Man is depraved. All at once. Someone who rejects God? Nope. Someone who does not have the capability of accepting God. Big difference, eh? All right. Lost, helpless in the aspects of spiritual things, yes. Excuse me? Lacking. Lacking anything of any substance that can even in the minutest way please God. Depraved. Depravity. Absence of that. Yeah, we are a mess. That's a good way of putting it. And in our minds, man has come to the conclusion that we are not a mess. Okay? I mean, that is what we have learned. And that is, we're not that bad. And if you have a problem in relationships, and you feel that it is not me, or I'm not that bad, and it's someone else, what usually happens to that relationship? It goes worse. If you have a feeling it's not me, and it's the other person, how many times have you seen that relationship improve? And if man thinks that it is not me that has a problem, it is what God is putting on me that makes it a problem. And that's why society today, even though they are living in depravity many times, will say that if it wasn't for Christians and the morals that Christians are trying to put on society, it wouldn't be guilt. Check that out now. And logically, morally, or I should say a lack of moral thinking, makes tremendous sense. I wouldn't feel bad. Romans, basic chapter 6 and 7, if you look at it, basically says, if there was no law, then I would know that I was doing wrong. So it's the law. Is it the law that's bad, he says? Well, no, it is you. And without the law, you would know that you were bad enough that you needed to change. And that's what how the Holy Spirit works in the Old and New Testament, is to bring up that in us which is written on our hearts, and that is the Holy Spirit that pricks, and we call it conscience. Where does man get conscience from if he's totally depraved? What is it? Yes, he does now. Why? It's because of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit basically is a pseudo-conscience. It is the power behind our conscience. It is that which has been written according to Romans chapter 2, verse 15, what is written on man's heart to know the difference between right and wrong. Do you understand that if man had not had that written on his heart, even laws would make sense. And understanding that, guys, that if the private man where the Holy Spirit works in everybody's life, that's why man can change. And when I say man, God made man, male and female, he made man. So don't get uptight, lady, when I say man is in the aspect of God made man, male and female, he made man. But you guys know that? You guys smoking? Genesis, we already talked about it. You just concentrate and connect the last several months, except tonight. All right? Now, when we look at before the fall, we're going to have a bunch of verses. You guys are going to have to read. A bunch of verses tonight, and you're going to have to listen because you can't look up on the board and find out what a verse is. You got to look in your book now. Okay? Who will read Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27? Okay, you got that? I saw the hand. If you didn't raise your hand, if you was at an auction, you just bought a $1 million picture. All right. Before the fall, check this out. Genesis 1, 26, 27. Read very loudly for me, please. God says before the fall, he gave total dominion to man, Adam and Eve, over all the animals. You guys know that? Over everything that moved, crawled, flew in the air, in the first heaven, God gave man dominion over it. Like the dinosaur that's from Mexico. Tyrannosaurus Rex. Excuse me. All right, sometime my humor just come back. You'll get it on the way home, baby. The Tyrannosaurus Rex. Okay? Tyrannosaurus Rex, do you realize before the fall, had to totally submit to man's orders? Adam and Eve never had to worry about walking past a lion, walking past a rhino, or dinosaur, and be threatened. Does anyone understand what a dinosaur is? It is not only a lizard, it is a... That is obvious. What is a dinosaur? A lizard. Yes, but what kind of lizard? A very big lizard. This is a heavy-duty class. I don't know how we're going to get through this. The word dinosaur does not mean a very big lizard. It means a terrible lizard. That's the dinosaur meaning, is that it is a awesome, death-defying, terrible lizard. Man, before the fall, could walk up to a Tyrannosaurus Rex and say, "Get off my grass!" And they'll get off and run away. Because he had dominion over all the things before the fall. Check that out. Now, that's just hard to believe. Even today, after the fall, we still have dominion but not control over the animals. Because God gave us a brain, and that means he still thinks that we are more important than animals. But what is the first thing the world has done to go against God's way? Make animals more important than human beings. And animals don't have the third dimension of a soul. So it has to be obedient to God. And the fellowship, now check this out. When the fall took place of Adam and Eve, what else failed? He was cursed, right? He was used by the serpent. Now, you got to understand, the snake was not an ugly animal before the fall. It's probably the most beautiful animal, and it walked upright or walked on legs before the curse. You guys understand that? Curse. Curse the ground, and you're going to have to now produce food by the sweat of your brow. Just think, before the fall, everything grew on its own. You didn't even have to weed. No bad breath before the fall. No zits. All came with the fall. You know what I mean, Jack? I mean, that is just think about all the things that came with the fall. Now, I want to ask you a question. If man was made in the image of God with the power to overrule and run everything on the earth, how powerful was man before the fall? Very powerful. Extremely powerful. God had given man that was under him the power and dominion on how the world should run. Now, today, we are supposed to inherit that back in righteousness. But does the church live and is an example to the world that is also in a fallen state, live the way the world should live and respond to God? No. No. But animals, the only thing that wasn't cursed and didn't fall, guys, was God's fellowship with animals. Animals never lost fellowship with God. That's why we call it instinct. The perfect fellowship with God, God tells animals exactly what to do. And animals outside of man isn't a problem. They just do what's natural, so God made them to survive. Check that out. Isn't that amazing? And before the fall, animals didn't eat meat. It was all herbivores. Because nothing was dying before sin came into the world and God created death. Check that out. Isn't that just something? And when we come in the millennial kingdom, everything's going to go back. And that's why the lion can lie down with the lamb during the millennial kingdom. We're going to eliminate the aspects of animals having to eat meat. Are we all having fun yet? You're just looking at me like, why are you telling me this? Move on. Not us. I hate to tell you, we will neither those who rise with Christ and come back and live on earth for 1,000 years won't be any need to eat.
But also before Paul,
new bodies.
Never knew the difference between each other, right?
What's that? Oh, they knew the difference between each other. It's just when they sinned, their eyes was open. That's a good question. What would their eyes? Way to go, stud, see?
I'm reading right here. I don't mind.
What were their eyes, well, get right to you, bro. What were their eyes open to when they sinned? What's that? Nakedness? No. They knew they was naked before. They just went embarrassed by it. What's that? Good and evil? Yeah, they knew the difference between good and evil. God said, don't eat of this tree. Come on. See, y'all, we take for granted. We know what it means that eyes was open, don't we? What do you think, bro? I always like to get you going. Go ahead.
Was it the fact that they had a choice whether or not to obey God?
They had the choice already when he says, don't eat of this tree.
But were they aware of it?
They was aware of it. Mm-hmm. That, if they weren't, they couldn't be tempted. Excuse me? Guilt, deeper than that.
They were so close to God that I think he still popped out of
their eyes was open to a different lifestyle. Their eyes was open to a different lifestyle other than walking with God. It had never been before. Now today, after the fall, we're born in a lifestyle of not walking with God. We accept Christ, and our eyes are open to a new lifestyle of being obedient to Him. See, it's totally reversed today. Are we having fun yet? I guess not. Okay. Yeah, bro.
Probably a crazy question, but what does that mean to the fall?
Okay. When man sinned and went against God, God cursed Adam. He cursed Eve. He cursed the generation. He cursed the ground. So that was the fall of man. Stop being perfect and start living imperfect lives. Thus, that's when sin came about. Now check this out, bro. When they realized and became ashamed of their nakedness, what did God have to do with them? He clothed them. Now what did he do to clothe them? What did he clothe them in? Animal skin. There had been no death. So where did they get the animal skin? Where did God get the animal skin? No, they didn't. God killed the animal. That's why blood sacrifice started. Because for their sin, an animal had to give his life. Now, I believe the animal that God killed was a lamb. The sacrificial lamb, the clothed man in his nakedness, because he had sinned before God, and that sacrificial system went until the Lamb of God was sacrificed on the cross. Thus, there's no more need for sacrifice. That's why the Jews don't understand it, because they don't believe the Messiah has come. That's why they want to rebuild the temple, so they can continue on with the sacrificial system, till their Messiah comes.
So they want to still, they believe in sacrificing.
Still in the temple, but they can't do it. They said God understands because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD by Rome.
That's why they don't do it anymore.
Right. But they said God understands. So now, why does the Jews fight so hard to get the land. They don't believe their faith. They don't even know. I mean, they believe their faith. That's what makes it so hard for them to get out of their belief. Messianic Jews. God gave them the land, but now the average Jew believes the land is their Messiah because they know they'll never have a king because God cursed the king of land after Jehoiakim. And the only way that they can have ever another king is to have a virgin birth. We'll talk about that one day. All right, yes, ma'am. That's very dangerous. That's very good. Yeah. Keeping all the laws. But you got to remember now, the sin, the sacrifice of sin was for the known sin. They didn't have a sacrifice and a forgiveness for unknown sin. What they did was the priest sacrificed. Yeah. Right. So when it did what? So if it didn't dawn on them, what did they do? Yeah, the only time they got forgiveness is known sins, see. And that's why they was always wanting that sacrificial system and to do it so often because can you imagine living a lifetime and remember all your sins? It would literally drive you crazy. And the reason why God set the system up that way was to drive them to Christ. So how did people in the Old Testament get saved? Believe that the Messiah would come. We are saved because we believe the Messiah has already come, already been. Much more. Yeah, I should say just as much. Yeah, but they had God pushed the law on them to drive them to the Messiah who was coming. Now, what does God use on you and I to push us to the Messiah? Life.
Just everyday life.
That's why you're in this class. You're getting it, see. He saves us every moment of our lives. Yeah. But depravity will eliminate our sin then. It's only by being filled with the Spirit of God constantly that we're reminded more and more and more of the price that Christ paid to save us. Okay, so before the fall, it's pretty good. Excuse me? Satan and the demons that rebel. Satan can't be forgiven because he wasn't tempted. He came upon it on his own. Okay? And because of that, he knows he's condemned already, so he's not trying to get to the point where he can whip God. He already knows he's defeated. He just wants to take as many with him as he can. That's his job. He can go back and forth right now to heaven. That's not going to be stopped until tribulation, the middle of tribulation. And then the angel going to body slam him out of heaven.
And he knows that.
And he's ticked. So he's going to try to get as many to go with him as possible because he already knows he's defeated. Okay? I hope so. Because if we don't, we're going to feel him when he's thrown out of heaven and hit the earth. He's going to go nuts. That's when the great tribulation happens, when he's kicked out of heaven. We'll talk about that at the end of the class on the tribulation, eschatology, and future events type of stuff. Okay? Are we flowing now? You know, it's better to have the stuff on the board, then we can just flow. Without stuff on the board, I don't know what it is, it makes you want to ask more questions. Have you ever noticed that? See, if you send it up on the board, you see how far we got to go. So you just shut up sometimes. Why do you think people use them big old billboards all day? Because they think it's nice and it's clean. No, you keep quiet because you're looking. But when you just got your mind on your mind, things pop up. You know, I never thought about that. Let me ask the pastor. Okay. If there's a before the fall, then there must be a... Oh, this class is too good on me, baby. Must be after the fall. All right. Someone read Romans 5:12 for me. You got it, bro? How about you, Matthew, you read 3:23. Yeah. Okay, 5:12. This is it. Is that what I said? Is that just, sometimes I think I'm smart. You know what I'm saying, man? Sometimes I think I'm smart. How about Romans 3:23? For all, you guys know what all mean in Greek? All. It doesn't matter what language you're using. Everybody means everybody has fallen. There's no one righteous. No, not one. Oh, you came in late. You messed my class up. For being late.
Are you kidding? I was joking.
No one else but you are going to get one. Don't tell us I gave them to everybody, all right? Let her feel guilty. It's funny though. It's, I don't know. Tell me when you eat it. Now, when we look at the fall of man, because all have fallen, what part of man fell? You see, every aspect of man fell. You just bought $1 million picture. Did you see what you said? Man, your actions and your response to God was changed after the fall. Just think that we could have such an instinct like animals did before the fall. We would normally be constantly talking with God and know exactly what to do. Question. How many of you ever saw a dog take birthing class? What's the name of it? Lamar. You ever seen a dog take Lamar? The dog will get pregnant. Oh, I got to get to class. I never saw anything. But that dog, man, God tells it everything to do. That pup is born. That mother knows to get up, turn around, chew the umbilical cord off, clean up the afterbirth, because it's not good for the dog to get into it. All the antiseptic stuff, the dog knows, eats it. And then knows how to get that dog to start breathing, that pup to start breathing, and knows how to teach that pup how to go to the bathroom. And has never learned one lesson on how to do that. Except a previous generation. But check this out. How many things do you remember about your first week on earth? I got a diary. You know what I said on the second day of my birth? I wrote in my diary, still tired from the move. Now, the whole thing, now, if you and I can't remember the first month or two or three, naturally you're not going to know. They said, well, a dog learns it from their mom. Their eyes are not even open. What are they doing? Okay, I hear. You know? So where does that come from to know how to nest? That mother, the last 2 weeks before she has pups, I always have to watch my female because they'll go off and make a nest somewhere that I won't even be able to find them to have those pups because they know that they're getting ready and they'll build a nest. So I have to put them in the kennel and give them a pseudo nest, what it's called, where they can build their own nest inside when I allow them. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because they get under the house or something in there, and you look at them under there and go, come on! Come on! Get out of here! You Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely amazing, man. They know exactly that those pups are coming. They know exactly what to do. They know exactly how to get them to start feeding. I mean, it's phenomenal. Where did that come from? A salmon. A stupid fish. You can hear me, girl? A stupid fish. Born in a creek somewhere. Knows that the minute it hatches, it starts heading for the ocean. A stupid fish. Salmon. You know the size of a brain of a fish? It ain't very big to get on a hook. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Yeah,
and that thing will find out right where it was born, head down the creek, know which direction to go, get in out of the creek to the stream, get out of the stream to the creek, get out of the creek to the river, get down the river to the ocean. Swim for 4 years in the ocean. We'll learn after 4 years of swimming the whole ocean, knows, okay, I'm getting ready to die, turn around, come back in the ocean, find that river, come up the river, find that same creek, come up the creek, get in there where he was born at, lays his egg, turn over and die. God says, it's time for you to die. Let me show you how to get back. Instant, because fellowship with man and God was broken, but never with God and animals was broken. So the mind of the fish, even though it's small, is smart enough to know, obey God. We're the only ones that are educated beyond our intelligence. And the animals totally submit to God. Remember when God told the guys, when they said, you need to pay taxes. He says, I want you to go down to the creek, catch a fish. The fish you catch, open his mouth, and have a coin. Now, that fish totally obeyed God to get on that hook. Fish aren't like you and I. We would have a spiritual debate with God. I can't hear you. The first thing we ask is, okay, I get on there, but is he going to throw me back? Can't hear you. Is he going to throw me back? Now, God, hold it. You know, I've been swimming a long time with this piece of corn in my mouth. You know how uncomfortable it is to swim underwater with a corn in your mouth, Lord? That's the discussion we would have. That's why God don't choose men of us for difficult tasks. We have too many questions. We're not as smart as animals, even though we have been sanctified and reborn under fellowship again in Christ.
Amen.
I'm working hard tonight, man. You know what I'm saying? The only thing you guys can look at tonight is me. I'm sorry, okay? How about the mind? 1 Corinthians 2:14. Who read that for me? Denise, you just moved. You just bought a $3 million ticket. This is an auction. Okay, you read that, bro? All right. Our Acts. How about Isaiah 64? Is that 8? No, 6:46. Okay, you read that for me, bro? How about the response to God? Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3. Okay, ma'am, you got that in the back? Okay, get those. We're getting ready to go through. We got to speed up a little bit. You guys are asking too many questions. This is not a class to learn. This is a class to listen. So you can say, yes, I went through it. I heard. Let me come into church and not do anything after I promise I will. Okay, that's what all about joining church. Are we ready? Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the mind.
The man without the spirit does not accept the things that come from the spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned.
God says, when the fall took place, every person that is born cannot understand spiritual things. Their foolishness to him. If that is true, why would anyone become a Christian if it wasn't for the Spirit of God pricking our hearts and our minds through our conscience? Now, I want to ask you a question. How important is God moving through the Spirit of God, what we just finished, to save anyone? How important is that? The reason why it's all important, guys, is because without it, none of us would be saved. Save, bruh, is to stop the fall. See what I'm saying? Be saved in salvation means God stopped the fall. He stopped the failure and made you righteous before Him and usable again. That's salvation. Be useful, made useful for God. I like that. How about acts? Your actions? Isaiah 64:6.
For we are like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
Now, this is a very graphical verse. Okay, you ready? Ladies, excuse the example here. God says in Isaiah 64:6 that your best you can come up with on your own is like filthy rags. Anyone know what the Bible calls filthy rags? Menstrual rags. Your best that you can do on your own, God says, at best even menstrual rags. And tell me, does God think very little about what man can do called good in his own efforts? Not at all. And God says, without Him, your best action, that's what drives, check this out. This is what Testament, Old or New Testament? This is the Old Testament. How could any Jewish man who had the law think they can live good enough to please God? We do the same thing today, though, in the New Testament with bad teaching in churches, don't we? Take the clear movement of God and change it for our own good and pleases us. That's why we got all the denominations, guys. Denomination is not a good thing. Denominations are a bunch of churches telling God what they want to believe. Okay? Our response to God evidently changed. Yes, ma'am. Let's slow that one down again. I mean, you'd have to start off so hard on us. Read that again one more time. Now, check out what she said. She's vicious. Are you talking to me personally? You sure are. Like the rest, we were objects of wrath. Isn't it amazing to realize that salvation, the number one thing that salvation does is change our mind, changes our actions, and changes our response to God. Because we're all born into those three things. Regardless how great our parents are, regardless how good it is, regardless how dysfunctional they are, we are born into a messed up mind, messed up actions, and a bad response to God. Now, psychologists and psychiatrists, does anyone know the difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist? One has a doctor's degree and the other has a whole bunch of experience.
Right. Something like that.
It's 2 years. One, he's got two more years of study, huh? Now check this out. You know the difference between a psychotic and a neurotic? A neurotic. That's what I call my puppies, my Rottweiler puppies. It's a neurotic. Now, the difference between a psychotic and a neurotic is this. Psychotics build castles in the sky. Neurotics move in. And psychiatrists collect rent. Thank you. Now, check this out. It's okay, man. It's okay. Now, just check this out. Why does man have a science on reading other people's failures, and it is successful. Because we are produced to fail outside of God. We're born into failure. And somebody has come along, saw that, and has made a science out of it, and makes a living on that which is natural in natural man. Now, how can we, pastors, are the psychotic of believers? We have come along and say, we are new. Thus, I get in your mind, in your life, in your heart, and say, we are to live this way. I guess you're not impressed. Let's move on. But that's the whole aspect of the difference between how the world deals with problems and how God's people deal with problems. And what we've done at church is got too much psychology involved to override the Bible. Of course I do. But the issue is for me to help you see your problem and then what? Not give you the excuse to stay in it. But secular psychologists and everything, sometimes the more I can help you, the more money I make. Talk to me. And what? Why do we? The only thing that's Christian about their psychology is just like adoption, Christian adoption. What do you think the bottom line for most Christian adoption is?
Money.
I mean, it's amazing how we can take that of man and not teach them that you do not need to stay in your problems. I can help you. Christian psychologists are supposed to help you see what the problem is. And then help you realize through God you can get out of it. And sometimes it's medication, sometimes it's counseling, sometimes it's other medical things when there's medical problems. Yet, but the majority of the time, you can get out of it by realizing where you are and what you need to do to get out. Yes, ma'am. Ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit that counsels. Our biggest problem is we have a hard time at times not trusting in what we can't see. Amen? And what we do sometimes, the Holy Spirit will use other people in our lives to help us see what He wants to teach us in the first place. Through the Word. Alright. Now, you saw where we were at the beginning. You see where we are in the failure. And you see that the only way out of that, God had to come up with a plan for it. It's called salvation. To get you out of depravity, to make you right before God, there is a plan that you must accept to have your mind change, your actions change, and your response to God change. That is what is supposed to happen to every Christian when they become a believer. My question is this. When most Christians come to know God in salvation, why do they continue to think the same, act the same a lot of times, and still respond to God the same? Because we think salvation stopped when I said, thank you, Jesus. Salvation is threefold. We're going to get into that. Oh, is the black man cold tonight or what? I'm really hot. You know. Okay. Salvation. Let's look at all the things salvation is. What's going on, man? What time do we have?
We've got about half an hour. Just over half an hour.
Okay. We may be able to finish salvation tonight. Yeah, right. Because we got to get to eternal security. Is anyone waiting on eternal security? Most of you are going, what is eternal security? I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about. Salvation is a gift. Who will read Romans 6:23? Okay, Ms. Elvis Walker. Check this out. Who will read a cost, 1 Peter 1:18-19? We'll take that one. All right, man? Man's effort. Romans 3:10-18. We won't do that. Man's effort. Someone just look up Romans 3:10-18, and I probably have to deal with that because it's probably a story that we have to deal with there. But who will read John 6:44? You got that, bro? Okay, John 6:44. Who will read that Romans 3:10-18 from the disagreement of feeling what it is? All right. God's choice. Acts 16:14. Who will read that? Okay. And God's power. Romans. Well, let's go with 1 Peter 1:5. We'll read 1 Peter 1:5, son. Someone don't have a verse, okay? And then my response, John 1:12. We'll read that, okay? All right, we got it. We'll get you on the next one. Okay, are we ready? We're going to roll through these because they got to come together for us to understand fully what salvation is all about and what is the true aspect of what happens to you and I when we get salvation. Number one thing we've learned tonight is that when we get salvation, God just changed our mind. He has changed our actions on how we're supposed to do. And He has changed our response to Him. That came with salvation, with the Holy Spirit moving into our life, moving into our hearts. When we talk about the Holy Spirit moving into our hearts, where do we talk about? What is the first thing we think about? We think about here, right? Emotions. God does not want your emotions. He wants to control your mind, and if He controls your mind, the heart, so that's the heart of man, right here. Where you volitionally decide something to give God an opportunity to help you live up to, in your salvation, a new mind, new way of thinking, a new action, a new way of acting, and a new response to Him. Isn't that good? I mean, is this helping? Okay. Salvation is a gift. Read. Let me ask you guys a question. You know how many people have a hard time with salvation because it's free? How many times have we been taught, in America especially, if it's free, it isn't worth it? It's got to be a catch. If you get something, you're usually going to, if what you pay for it, that's what it's worth. Huh? How many times have we heard that? In America, we say, get what you can. Can what you get, then sit on the can. You know what I'm saying? If it's too good to be true, it isn't. I mean, talk to us. Now, if I give you a gift, what must you do? I gave you what tonight? For those of you that accepted it, you're saved. With calories. It was a gift. When I gave you that gift, what did you have to do? And that gift is still yours, but it don't do you any good if you don't. Are we flowing? TC, God made you move on that box of Butterfingers tonight, baby.
I know.
There's only a couple of people that didn't receive the salvation tonight.
Is that right?
We're talking about candy bars, but it's what? That simple. It's that simple. God gives it to you, and you just free. How hard is it to get salvation if it's a gift? Now, guess what? You took it, you ate it. It's very difficult for you to give it back the same way you got it. Can I have an amen here from somebody? You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to get it back the other way. You know what I'm saying? And that was a one way what? Gift. It's yours. I mean, that's just not what. That's smoking it. And God did the same thing. That's it. And what did you do? You had to go. Oh, that's just nasty. It's so hard to get white people excited at times. You know that? Y'all are so dry. Make me enjoy this, Pastor. And I'm coming up with some of my best stuff tonight without the board being up there.
Working hard.
The hardest working man in jumping.
Amen.
Well, it was a gift, but every gift had to be paid by someone. Had to be a cost. Now, you see that box of Butterfingers, and you think, you know, it's just something that happened. There had to be thought into it. Had to be an effort. Had to go. Someone had to pay for it in order to get it here. See, it just didn't show up. I walked in here and go, that's a box of Butterfingers. Praise God. I prayed for it. There it is. Poof. Now, what happened? Someone had to work it out in order for it to be here for you who did nothing for it to be here. Except show up and receive it. Huh? So the cost. Let's look at the cost. What was the cost? 1 Peter 1:18-19. What was the cost for that gift that you received free, according to those verses? The blood of the Lamb of God. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow, without blemish. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And one day on the way to school, a big yellow dog jumped out and killed her. Now, I said a big yellow dog. My dogs are black. Okay. Now, but if you really look at the whole thing, is that not the story? Mary had a little lamb who became the perfect Lamb of God, who became the cause. Like the first lambs became the cost to clothe Adam and Eve to produce a different mind, different actions, a different response to God. And then God came along to produce a new mind, a new set of actions, and to teach you how to respond correctly again to God. And it was bought with a cost. Huh? Is that just sweet? Yes, ma'am.
Now, why do they refer to him as the lamb?
Because that was the perfect aspect that God called a shepherd. God is the good shepherd. We are his sheep. God came as a sheep because that's the only way he could pay for sheep sin. So he died on the cross as the perfect sheep without blemish that God would accept for all of us. That's why he was called the Lamb of God. And on his other role, he is the Lion of Judah. One, he's tender, salvation. One, he's a lion, protection. Excuse me, girl. You get it all there. Whew! You know more than me. Because you know what I just taught you and other stuff you hadn't told me. See, was I lying? What can I say?
Does God use human sacrifices?
No. He used humans to make sacrifices for him, but not a sacrificial lamb.
Well, that's what I meant. Because I was thinking about the magic gospel thing, how nobody cared about AIDS, but here's a guy who everybody loved. Charismatic, basketball player. He got AIDS before the world got quiet.
Quick. And most of the world got quiet because the girls knew they slept with him. Most of them got real concerned after that. AIDS did what God couldn't, curtail promiscuousness and promiscuity. Now they're talking about getting a cure for it. Look what everyone is doing again. Promiscuity is coming back. It's amazing. Now, I want you guys to never forget that God says at times he gets enough of your sinning. And it takes just as much faith to sin one more time as it does not to sin at all. Because you are really saying to God, I'm going to sin one more time, but you're not going to have enough witness. You're going to forgive me again. Had a young lady, it's been 20 years now, 15, 20 years now, got mad at God, the church, left, went out for one night stand. 8 years later, she was dead. She called AIDS that night. From the guy she had a one-night stand with. God can say it any time. I've had it with your sin. And it takes a lot of faith to believe that one more sin God won't say.
That's it.
That's it. That's a lot of faith. I'd rather use my faith, not the sin. Can I have an amen from somebody right here? You know what I'm saying? It's because there's a cost that God paid, and He does not count it lightly, the blood He paid for you and I, to have a changed mind, have different actions, and to have a different response to God. What?
He's on.
Well, that wasn't too hard for that head to understand, was it?
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Because if he fall one more time, he might be in.
That's what I'm talking about. But
oh well.
Yeah. But the whole thing that we got a God of grace,
yeah.
And we take advantage of His grace. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, we take advantage of His grace.
That's
but for you, Mike, there's no more grace. Okay, now just want you to know that. That'll keep you straight. Everyone else, you got grace. Mike, no more, all right? Okay. Let's look at man's effort. I love this. Salvation. What is salvation done with man's effort? John 6:44. God says salvation eliminates any effort from you to have salvation. You know how many people would go in search for God, and they think it's up to them to find God, and they spend all kinds of time, oh, that was an effort, wasn't it? Hope that's not on the tape. You know how many of us as Christians will go on our spiritual pilgrimage? And we'll go back to a book that we read once that really moved us. Or we try to find some people that we really grew with when we was with them. We try to light our own fire oftentimes. And it all boils down to us and our efforts. Instead of saying, hey, you can come to God without Him in the first place. To find Him again, if you walk away, is simply to surrender. Get rid of your efforts. Your efforts is what made you walk away from it. You know what? Everything is easier said than done. Am I right? But how many things do we do even though it's easier said than done? How about, is it easier to stay in bed in the morning and not go to work? But what do we do? And you know what's so amazing? Most of the time, we're hypocrites on the job because we don't want to be there. Now, what if we call our boss? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What if we get up, we call our boss, we go, I'm not coming in today. He said, why? Because I don't want to come in, and if I come in, I'll be a hypocrite. And I know you don't want any hypocrites on the job. Now, what do you think your boss will say? Thank you so very much for not being coming in here, hypocrite. You better be in here before I hang this phone up, or you're going to be an unemployed hypocrite. You know what I'm saying? But we'll throw that stuff on God. Well, God, you don't want me to pray because I don't feel like praying. Because you don't want me to study because I don't feel like studying. If I don't feel like studying, I'm not going to get anything out of it. God is up there saying, Peter, bring the holy bucket. He wants to have a holy throw up on our excuses. I'm sorry I shouldn't talk like that in this Christian class. Man's efforts. It don't mean dilly squat, guys. They're not right or wrong.
It's one big bucket.
It's a bunch of He know it's got to be a big bucket if he can spit and make enough mud to go on two eyes. That was a spiritual loogie. Okay. Now, y'all settle down. How much time we got? Huh? How many minutes we got? Okay, look at this. We got 15 minutes, but we finished 3 and 15. We got 15 more, right? For the next 3. All right. What about God's choice in salvation? All right, who's got that? And that's what we read in Acts? Acts 16:14?
One of those listening was alone in Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth in the city of
Go, girl.
The voice for God. The Lord opened your heart to respond to all these things.
You mean to tell me if God allows you to become a Christian, it was because he chose Umba? That's Southern French. It's not even your choice. But pastor, what about free will? What about predestination? I say to you. And then if someone says, what about predestination? And I say to them, what about free will? We're going to talk about those two things when we get over here in the terms of Asia. Did you choose? Or did God choose? But if you didn't choose, how could you have a free choice to choose? And if you don't have a free choice to choose, then God must have not chose some. Which make him not an equal God or a righteous God, but a God that's prejudiced toward others. These thoughts make you go, We're going to get into those, baby. Look like next week. God willing, and the creek don't rise, and I can get back from Detroit. Okay? Let me see. God's power. Ooh, is there some God power in salvation? Maybe. How about 1 Peter 1, 5? Who's got that one?
You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
If you cannot get salvation on your own, how can you keep it? You know how many people say you got to work for your salvation? You got to work to keep your salvation? If you can't get it, how can you keep it? Our salvation is kept by the power of God. John chapter 12, I think it is, says, you're not holding on to God. He is holding on to you, and no one snatches you out of my Father's hand. We're going to talk about those when we talk about eternal security. People say, yes, I know he's holding on to me, and no one can snatch me out of his hand, but I can stand up in his hand and dive off. God is infinite. Let me say that big word again. He is infinite. Can anyone walk to the end of infinite? And if you can walk to the end of infinite, what are you going to dive off into? Thoughts like this make you go. So it's got to be an answer. We'll talk about that next week. Whew, God's power. How much is God's power? Because we've already studied through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one of the attributes that all three have that contradicts logic is all powerful. And if he's all powerful, you can't even jump out of his hand.
As hard as we're trying sometimes.
And we do try hard. How about in salvation, what is my response? John 1, 12.
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
Now, what is our response? Again, would you read that? Listen to this.
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God.
When I walk around with the butterfingers, the free gift that was paid by someone else, that was held by my hands, the power of the black man's hand, your response to that was to, for those that have received, give the power of salvation. Salvation is an awesome thing, guys. And guess what? God would die for just one of us. So I don't ever, after you leave this class, I don't ever want to hear from you ever again. I'm not that important. I'm just one person. Because you have just degraded my Lord's salvation to you. Father, thank you so much for the class tonight. Thank you for what you want to accomplish and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you had a good time tonight without the visuals.